the place where your dreams come
true. It is Brian's World.
So listen. Coming at you.
Not only can good posture boost your energy levels and reduce your pain, it can also increase your self-esteem. A 2009 study says good posture gives you more confidence in your own thoughts. So my uncle Charlie always says the same thing whenever we part ways, whether we spent some time together up here in Maryland or whether, you know, we went down to North Carolina to visit him or visit them, I should say, visit the family or, you know, wherever it's at. At the end of our link up, he would always say, you know, keep your head up, look to the hills from which your help come. And, you know, I would hear those words, and as you can obviously tell, they are ingrained in my youth. They are ingrained. Those moments are, those words are something that, you know, I would never forget. It is a part of my youth because every time I would leave from Uncle Charlie's spot or down in North Carolina, he would always tell me to keep my head up. And never really tapped into exactly what he was saying. But for some reason, over the last couple of days, where I've been a lot more into the idea of posture. I've been, for whatever reason, I have been thinking about posture to the point where I started to notice how often I look down and how often, not often, how those moments of me looking down are very representative of a time period of my life where, you know, I was confused about a lot of things. Coming into 30, you know, you're letting go of some of the thinking of your 20s and you're trying to embrace the 30s, but I mean, us millennials, this is our first time around this whole triple 10 lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, it's just different. So, you know, I found some sort of parallel between the two. And I just kept hearing in the back of my mind over the last couple of days. I just kept hearing my Uncle Charlie, who just always says, keep your head up, you know, look toward the hills. And over the last couple of days, as I would think about that, I would remind myself to do just that. I would start to think about, am I sitting straight? Am I slouching? Am I like, I saw how often I actually put my eyes down. Like how often I choose a timid existence. How often I may just be walking somewhere or trying to get something done and I'll drop my head and I'll walk the whole distance like that. Or like, I never forget when I first got to Buffalo, right? One of my boys, DJ Heat, shout out to DJ Heat, who actually sent me a very heartwarming text message the other day. I really appreciate those words, brother. DJ Heat, we were leaving the radio station one night and he was like, man, you know, it's like you get a lot done. And you, I ain't gonna say what else he said, because those words were special as well. It didn't make me feel like I'm on the right track, you know. But he said something else that stuck with me until this day. He said that, but you always are acting and walking like a young pup trying to find his way. And then when we would talk, I mean, he's older than me, so in it's like a lot of circles that I'm in where I end up being the little brother of the situation. but yeah, you know, he's older than me and whatnot, so I took it as a some hint of wisdom, but it made me realize and made me wonder, like, do I really act a certain way? So from that moment, I did something about it. I kind of found different ways to kind of pick myself up and to assert myself in the moment without being an arrogant butthole. I found some ways, you know, from that moment to kind of work on things. But see, the way that the roller coaster of life happens, man, you could feel so good. You could feel so good Monday through Saturday, but Sunday may be the worst day of your life. You could learn something new and you fall off with practicing it, and then all of a sudden you develop another bad habit or redevelop a bad habit that you were trying to get rid of. That's what I did, essentially. Once Heat spoke those words to me, I started to kind of realize, kind of say, well, nah, I ain't trying to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't trying to be no pup out here. I'm trying to walk with some confidence. I'm trying to walk with some purpose. I'm trying to walk with some courage and some zeal. if you will. So I started to work on those things. But see, you lose your job. See, you deal with heartbreak. You deal with losing this, losing that, and having to be stripped of some of the things that you've created. Your life has completely shifted. If you're a Bible reader, I ain't gonna say it's the exact same thing as Job, but it is, you know, a situation like what Job went through, how he lost a lot. And if you're not a Bible reader, just imagine losing a lot and then trying to stay strong through it all. And then I found myself, I mean, even recently, just noticing that I'm back to those ways, or not all the time, but that I find myself doing it sometimes and I try to snap out of it. But I have found that I have somewhat returned to those ways every now and then. And it led me to kind of think, and this is, I guess this is why this has been on my mind, to connect the dots between posture and low self-esteem. Now, what I see about a slouching posture, or about those moments when I do drop my head and I'm just kind of tucked or whatever reason, it kind of almost feels reminiscent of the fetal position. You know, the fetal position is the position that babies come out in. It's the position that you may see a newborn child wrap up into just to get a little bit of comfort as they lay there by themselves. Or, honestly speaking, a lot of us, this is why I bring it up, still fall into that fetal position. And I did some research about it on Healthline, and I saw that it's something that is not just prevalent with infants, but adults rely on the fetal position without even knowing it. And that's from Healthline. Adults find themselves trying to get a little extra dose of comfort in the midst of a very unfamiliar place. Now, that is something that is a parallel that I saw, and that's why when I read this about the fetal position, I was like, yeah, that has to go into the notes, because that sounds exactly how I would be feeling in those moments when I choose or I opt to drop my head, looking for some sort of comfort. For me, it's the comfort of invisibility. The same thing that can be something that comforts you can also be, you know, the very thing that spoils the moments that you're part of. For me, that comfort or whatever, being comfortable with invisibility, is also one of my biggest complaints about, you know, some of the things that I experienced throughout the day. Feeling invisible, it doesn't feel good all the time. You want to matter sometimes, you know. But my comfort zone, my whole safety measure that I take, or that I may take. I won't say I take in general, because if I'm cognizant of it, then I'm able to focus on it and work on it and work myself through it. But those moments when I'm not paying attention to the slouching, those moments when I'm not paying attention to how I'll drop my head in some sort of despair, shame, or defeat, those moments when I don't pay attention to that, my mood gets steamrolled. My productivity gets steamrolled by this idea that everything that I need is on the ground. It gets steamrolled by this idea that everything that I need is residing in invisibility. It gets steamrolled by the idea that it's just best if I kind of hide myself or hide my face or take myself out of this situation completely, make it easy for people to completely forget that I exist in this moment. Choosing silence. Beyond silence is choosing invisibility. And you know, I found myself crouching in those situations, and it felt very similar to the fetal position. And like I said, adults can be in that fetal position. Check this out. Babies, children, and sometimes even adults will also use the fetal position for comfort and self-soothing. Comfort and self-soothing. Soothing. I said soothing. yeah, for comfort and self-soothing. It's also the go-to for most people for getting a good night's sleep. I don't like any of that, because I'm not trying to sleep and I'm trying to be productive. So the fetal position in that situation, I'm not trying to get closer to sleep when I'm in the middle of doing an interview. I'm not trying to get closer to sleep when I'm in the middle of doing a radio show. I'm not trying to get closer to sleep when I'm in the middle of writing a chapter, you know, doing something. But in a pursuit of comfort as a way to flee from responsibility of taking care of what needs to be taken care of, as a way of fleeing from the attention that comes with, well, what are you going to do? The attention that comes with the whole, now you got to make a decision. That whole anxiety, that whole moment, all of that. Like, I don't I'm not trying to fall asleep in those moments. I'm not trying to wallow in that comfort of hiding from responsibility and hiding from those moments. But subconsciously, I feel myself trying to do that sometimes. And subconsciously, somebody upstairs gets on the controls and they're like, look, man, let's just walk out of this building, drop your head so nobody see you, and we just gonna make it to the car and we all good. You know what I mean? As opposed to facing the shame of whatever moment, as opposed to facing the anxiety of having to speak to a stranger, or sometimes the anxiety of having to speak to someone you know, as opposed to facing the anxiety of having to make the decision for the group, or as opposed to facing the anxiety of having to make a decision in general. Something that may, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Like some of these decisions, they do be big decisions. like when you're adulting, like I'm not taking that away from you. When you're adulting, some of these decisions are literally life and death. I'm sorry, not death, death. Some of these decisions are literally that big. So I understand the anxiety. But no matter what the decision has to be made, 9 times out of 10, there's some sort of penalty for neglecting to make said decision. And 10 times out of 10, running from it will not save you. Shout out to the bros. And I think that, you know, through that channel, I found a way to connect posture to low self-esteem. What I would really like to do is to get more experts on here to talk about this and drop all types of cool quotes and some research and some stats and stuff like that. But I really do think that I've stumbled over some sort of connection between, you know, bad posture, if you will, and low self-esteem. That desire to want to return to the fetal position, whether you are laying down as a 62-year-old adult, or whether you're laying down as a 6-month-old infant, or whether you're in the middle of making a crazy anxiety-ridden decision, the fetal position subconsciously is the place where that comfort lies. And I think that, you know, for me and for other people who deal with anxiety, that is that magnet that is like in the bottom of the, like, that's like in the ground or something. It just kind of feels like it's in the ground sometimes, and your eyes just be drawn to it. You just be like, oop, don't look at me, I'm looking down. But I think that I've stumbled over some sort of connection here. And, you know, and the first step to improving posture is legit knowing that it's there. I think that that's why it's been on my mind. That's why it's been so prevalent for me for the last couple of days, because now I'm cognizant of it and I'm trying to make sure that, okay, bam, I'm slouching. I don't want to slouch anymore. Or when I'm fresh off of a decision that may have ruffled some feathers, it may have rocked the boat, or it may have made something weird in a particular situation. Sometimes I would find myself looking down, just, you know, kind of wallowing in shame, but also just the sheer attention of having to be the one to make that decision, make said decision, and then deal with the responsibility or whatever. Sometimes I would find myself, you know, walking with my head down, or walking, quote unquote, distracted out of making those big decisions. But then when I find myself doing that and I catch myself and I snap back out of it, and I snap into just a mode of, man, just raise your head, look to the hills, and keep your head high, I automatically feel better. You know, if you're a chakra person, then my chakras automatically feel like they just flow a little bit better. My mental feels like it flows better. I feel like I'm on top of my decisions, as opposed to my decisions being on top of me. And I really do feel like at the base of our confidence and the base of our self-esteem is posture. It is posture. I mean, literally based on the fact that slouching is, you know, just a form of, I won't say laziness. I feel like that's like extra hot sauce. We don't need that. We don't need that right now. The dish is pretty good. We don't need the super hot sauce. But I will say that slouching is some sort of like extreme comfort. I'll put it like that. Borderline excessive comfort, but extreme comfort. You know, you're not the most alert when you're like slouched down. It's just a mindset thing. And I really do think that posture is the base of confidence. Posture could be the base of alertness, if you will. Posture is literally, you know, I would say the base of your mood, how you're feeling in general. So I thought this was interesting. As you can hear, I've been all over Healthline. Shout out to them. I appreciate all of this insight, man. So Healthline had an article that I found that kind of cemented the idea that posture is something that we should be talking about. It's something that we should be mentioning within our lifestyle bubbles and our circles and our friends and whatnot. They have 12 benefits of good posture. I'm gonna read a couple of my favorites. The first one, obviously, is I feel like this one is a no-brainer. Like, it doesn't really necessarily bother me that much, but it does reduce any type of back pain that you may be feeling. Now, I ain't there yet, but obviously, that is a very good reason to make sure that you check your posture, because who wants to deal with back pain? Another one that I really enjoyed is one that I wasn't necessarily sure that I can get into it scientifically. Like, I ain't know the scientific background about it, but as you heard, whenever I would like look to the hills, as my uncle says, whenever I would kind of pick myself up and open myself up and refrain from getting in that fetal position, I would feel some sort of energy. And apparently, according to Healthline, when you improve that posture, you do get increased energy levels. I'll read it like straight from here. Actually, it says when your bones and joints are in correct alignment, it allows the muscles to be used as they're intended, so you have less fatigue and more energy. In other words, the muscles don't have to work so hard to do what they're supposed to do. So it makes a lot of sense, especially when I tie it into the whole alertness and, you know, being 100% present and being 100% in the moment. It just feels like opening up and refraining from that fetal position actually has a big payoff when it comes to those energy levels. So I ain't just talking, just a talk. I mean, this is, you know, these are experts at Healthline. Another one of my favorites is that you feel less tension in your shoulders and neck, which I'm starting to understand how much tension I retain throughout the day. What I kind of feel like is the anxiety of moments that we feel. We all deal with something, okay? Sometimes when we deal with it, we don't necessarily deal with it. We just store it away. You know how sometimes you used to clean up when you was a kid, and you're trying to hurry up and clean up on Saturday morning so you can be outside on throwing the football with your homies by like lunchtime on Saturday. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you know, if you don't get your room clean, you're going to get stuck in there. You're going to be in the house all day. So to kind of speed up the process a little bit, you might sweep some things under the bed. You know, you might sweep some things under some clothes or whatever like that. And I think that we do that sometimes when it comes to tension and the energy that builds up when we have to make those big decisions and we find ourselves in anxious moments. So when we have to say those things that, you know, are going to cause some pain, but it does need to be said. Some of those moments, I think that we take that energy from that anxiety that we build up and that we've found a way to get over it to, you know, so we're able to deliver whatever needs to be done. We're able to take care of whatever needs to be done, but we don't correctly process that energy sometimes. And what I found is that I do put that energy in little tension pockets over my body. I actually tried to write it into The Man Who Didn't Stop Running 2. Like, I tried to write a whole chapter about it, but it might still come together. I don't know. But I really do feel like sometimes we have tension that's built up in, like, when our jaw is clenched all day. Or, like, when I have this thing where I just hold my forehead so straight and focused, and I keep my eyebrows nice and, like, keep my grit on almost. If you in a Greek life, you know what I'm talking about. I do think that we find ways to sneak that anxiety, the energy from that anxiety, into our bodies, and it creates that tension and opening up our posture and focusing on keeping our head up, focusing on not just looking down all day, focusing on not just slouching, being timid in the moment, may help us to get rid of some of that tension. Another one of my favorites is, I'll do two more. This one's one of my favorites because I have so many friends that are very active in working out those workouts be a very important part of your day, you know. But sometimes doing those workouts incorrectly all the time is very dangerous to your body. But apparently it's, all part of posture as well. And, you know, it could do more harm to you than anything. So apparently focusing on your posture will also help you to improve your posture when you're working out. So, you know, it prevents you from slouching in the gym as well. And then lastly, this is my favorite. It improves self-confidence. I'm going to read exactly what they say, actually. Not only can good posture boost your energy levels and reduce your pain, it can also increase your self-esteem. A 2009 study says good posture gives you more confidence in your own thoughts. And I believe it, because it forces you to stand tall. You can't stand tall on a shaky ground of lacking confidence. You can't stand tall on opinions that you aren't willing to abide by, or your opinions that you aren't willing to actually stand by. You only stand tall on things that you're confident on, and standing tall forces you to be confident. You don't have the we don't have the crutch of getting into that fetal position. It forces us to be confident. It forces us to stand tall when sometimes we want to hide and be invisible. I like this posture tip too that Healthline gave. They said before a meeting, presentation, or job interview, make sure your shoulders are relaxed, your spine is in alignment, and your ears are resting over your shoulders. Basically, your head is held high. I love it, man. I love it. Yeah, I think what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna actually get those tips up on the website at briansworldlive.com. You can log on and check those out. And if you would like to get those emailed to you, you can just shoot me an email at briansworldshow@gmail.com. Hit me up on Instagram at briansworldlive, and I'll make sure that I send you, you know, those tips and whatnot. But as you can see, there are some health implications. There are some science, or there is some science, I should say, that also that we can use to connect posture and connect the idea of improving posture to the idea of improving self-esteem. And we see that clearly those two coexist. Those two can work together to improve our life. Now that I'm able to know, now that I know this and I'm paying attention to it, my bad if I'm saying a lot of stuff right now. I'm trying to get back on track. Now that I'm paying attention to it, what I'm really looking for is what I call posture weights. Now, that ain't Healthline. That's me. That's just something I came up with. It's called posture weights. These are things that, you know, as I was putting the episode together, I started to realize these are the things that kind of force me into yearning for that fetal position. These are things that may happen or moments that I may experience that there's a pattern of, okay, my response to X, Y, and Z is to drop my head. My response to this situation is to kind of hide myself. My response to the situation is to seek some sort of invisibility and comfort that lies in not having to make a specific decision, or that lies in not having to be the one to stand up, or not having to lead, or whatever. Just alienating responsibility at all costs. There are some moments that pull me to that, and I call those posture weights. For me, sometimes, you know, and for a lot of us, especially guys, I'm not trying to sound sexist, but it is what it is. And if you want to have that conversation down the line, we can have it. But, you know, a lot of times financial stability is it'll put you in that place. And sometimes it's not even about being stable. Sometimes it's just about having to do a big adult thing. Like, I found myself after, no matter what's in the bank, even if it's taken care of, I found myself seeing that, you know, after big adult life decisions, like when my car got hit earlier this year, or like right before that when I bought the car, those moments causing that type of anxiety, it having to spend a lot of money at one time for whatever reason, it's just always a lot for me. I have to kind of push myself and force myself and have a meeting with myself about making these decisions. And I mean, you probably should, because it's a big amount of money. But I have seen that financial stability or big financial decisions can be some sort of posture weight that kind of weighs down my confidence, depending on, you know, how deep it is or how big the issue. Another thing that I found that is a posture weight for me is unpreparedness. Stepping into situations that I didn't prepare for, whether it was on me or whether it was on another party. Like, I've been a part of a lot of things where you get invited to DJ something and you get there and it's a completely different ball game. It ain't even what they explain. They was like, yeah, this is going to be a kids party. You know, then you get there and it ain't no kids. It's all parents for real. And they like, well, we thought the kids was going to show up, blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden, you know, you got Baby Shark ready to go for, you know, to put it on repeat for 4 hours. And now you got to put together a club night. Like, whether it's moments like that or whether it's moments where a reception that I've known about for a year and a half, I just started to get ready for it a week ahead. That's not being prepared. So that when I step into that reception, or I step into that event that I wasn't necessarily prepared for whatever reason, my initial reaction is to find the fetal position, because you find comfort in not having to be there. You find comfort in not having to be, you know, show up for work, if you will. Not having to make any decisions. Not have to deal with the responsibility of carrying this party for X amount of hours. You find some sort of solace in that. And I have found that unpreparedness is a very prevalent posture weight for me. Same thing with communication. With there's anxiety that surrounds communication for me. You know, and for a lot of people, there's an anxiety that exists when we have to be the one to break the news to somebody, or when we have to be the one to break the ice, or when we have to be the one to carry a specific conversation, when we have to have those tough conversations, or not even tough conversations, but very important conversations. There, I mean, if you're human, I mean, naturally, you get a rush of some sort. You get it's some sort of anxiety, some sort of energy builds up in you. That's just human nature to me. I don't think that that's very difficult. I don't think that that's something that only, you know, a small amount of people who deal with anxiety deal with. I think that that is a widespread thing, and it happens all the time. But those communication anxieties are also posture weights. And I do feel that, like, just being aware of that kind of gives me that push to, nah, don't beat around the bush. Nah, don't, you know, tiptoe around it. Just say what needs to be said. Deal with the anxiety and fix your posture. Reset your posture. Don't fall into the trap of complacency or of comfort in not communicating. You can't fall into that trap of slouching in silence, slouching in moments where something should be said. You can't fall into that trap of, I mean, because it does look like it is more comfortable on the outside looking in, but 9 times out of 10, your relationship, your friendship, whatever it is that needs this communication, it could be at work or whatever, is going to suffer. Shame is another posture weight that I've seen before. I could get something wrong and you know, have to pretty much eat my words on that, or pretty much have to make my exit stage left. And see, the crazy thing about exiting stage left is that it's on the stage. Everybody sees it, you know what I mean? And sometimes you have to do that. And you know, I find my posture paying the price for my shame sometimes, you know. And another posture weight is fear. There's a fear of responsibility. There's a fear of leadership, which I guess is responsibility. There's a fear of being wrong that exists. There's a fear of just having to take the blame. There's a fear for all of that, you know. And then it gets deeper, because it's like you got a fear of being wrong, but then you have a fear of how wrong you can be wrong. And then you kind of fear the consequences of how wrong you can be wrong. So it just, it compounds itself, you know. But that fear serves as a, I'm about to say a paperweight, as a posture weight, 100%, you know. There's a fear of being different that kind of exists for me, you know. I can't explain it. I legit cannot explain it. As much as I love to be different, it also is something that scares the living hell out of me. And it just always has bothered me. And I think the anxiety for me has come from, well, do I not fit in because I'm different, or do I not fit in because something's wrong with me? Or do I not fit in because, like, I need to just shake my mood or get in a better mood, or just, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Or do I not fit in because I feel like I'm better than people or whatever, da, da, da. Those are all, and I'm just walking you through a conversation, you know, in my mind, but it just goes to show you the how anxiety compounds itself. How anxiety just spends all day just leveling things up, you know? But there are things we can do at the base of this that controls this. The things we could do that can fight this. And one of those things is improving your posture and knowing those posture weights. And for me, lastly, you know, it's about finding comfort and standing tall. It's about being comfortable with being present. Said something a couple weeks ago, well, actually a couple months ago now, on a podcast about living like you're apologetic for living. That's stupid. Don't do that. That's bad. That's not good. Because you fall into this thing where you feel invisible, and then you actually start to think you're invisible. And that's dangerous. Because we can see you, feel you, hear you, and touch you. I think for me also, you know, just that whole attention of standing tall is a little bit overwhelming sometimes. It, I mean, it just is. sometimes I choose to be on my own because it's like, I just don't feel like nobody looking at me today. I just feel like saying and doing what I want to do. I don't feel like giving a show today. But that's a whole different thinking, because, you know, I feel like when you really get good at yourself, when you really fall in love with yourself and you really get to understand yourself, you know, I think you really see the benefits, you really feel the benefits of walking tall and standing tall and being very present in every moment that you could possibly be in. Not being in every moment that you could possibly be in, but being present at every moment that you could possibly be in. I just think that things, you know, look a little bit different and feel a little bit different when you stand tall, but that you got to be comfortable with all eyes on you, because that is a risk. That is a risk. That's probably going to happen, because standing tall does draw attention to yourself, because, you know, that confidence that you begin to exude will shine itself in a multitude of people, in a room full of people. You will shine as a leader. Especially when you know, pick up the pieces and do the things that need to be done to be able to stand tall comfortably, like be prepared, you know, like knowing yourself enough to find a way to knowing yourself enough to find the best ways to communicate with people. Your best ways. We all have different superpowers. It's all about, you know, yours in particular. Might not be able to fly, but can you disappear? I guess that was a bad example in this situation. You might not be able to fly, but do you have super strength? There we go. Can you turn into fire? We all have different superpowers, man. It's all about finding your superpower and then finding comfort in standing tall in that superpower. I'm starting to understand that timidity is a thief of joy. Timidity robs us of not just good moments, but timidity robs us of who we can be as a leader, which in turn robs society of so much. Think about if everything that you had planned and that career that you just stepped into, that industry that you just stepped into, or the industry that you've been in. Think about if you're supposed to be an influencer within that industry. Think about if the reason that you're so passionate about fighting fires is because you're supposed to come up with the technology that would take us to the next level of firefighting. It's a lot of pressure. It is. But you'll be all right. You're built for it. But wallowing in timidity is going to prevent you from being able to do that. It's going to prevent us from being able to do those great things like that. Because when you got to have that meeting to speak up and introduce that new firefighting technology, you're going to be too timid to stand tall. You're going to be too timid to stand on your opinion of how this will change the world of firefighting for years to come. Yearning for that fetal position will put you to sleep in the middle of that very important meeting. That if this new technology is presented correctly, can alter firefighting for centuries to come, saving millions of lives. A lot of pressure. It is a lot of pressure. Nobody ever said success wasn't a lot of pressure. I'm not foolish like that. But timidity is a thief of joy, it's a thief of success, it's a thief of reaching your full potential. And I do think that if we are able to let the top back, if you will, fix our posture, look to the hills, as my uncle says, and just let things flow, open things up for us, for how we stand up and learn to truly stand tall in who we are, and analyze how, you know, keeping this good posture helps us to keep a high self-esteem, I think we'll be all right.
Don't go nowhere. I'm coming to see you. And y'all don't want no problems.
It's Brian's World Live.